I'm Taylor Tarter, and this is Fastball Fantasy Baseball. On today's podcast, we're going to go over the last two statistics that I use to help me analyze batters in fantasy baseball. I'll also continue the discussion from last week about trading by getting into my trading philosophy and trade etiquette. Let's get into it. First, let's rewind. Over the last few weeks, I've spent time breaking down several sabermetric and standard statistics that I believe are central to understanding a batter's true potential and whether or not what they're doing is legitimate. I've been outlining ways that you can look at the data to see if numbers that players are producing are above, below, or right in line with what they should be doing. I've also provided you with the tools to find players who are undervalued or overvalued, and which players to target, to review what you should be looking for, it's hard contact percent, a player's BABIP, their line drive ground ball and fly ball percentages, their home run to fly ball percent and ground ball to fly ball ratio, and then plate discipline data, things like chase rate, O contact, Z swing, Z contact, contact percent, and swinging strike percent. The final hitting stats that complete the puzzle for me are walk rate and strikeout rate. Walk rate is gonna look like a BB percentage sign and strikeout rate is gonna be a K percentage sign. Including these data points with the others will give you a solid picture of what kind of hitter you're looking at. By combining your analysis of all of these statistics, you'll be able to project how a player will do, which will allow you to field the best possible fantasy baseball team. Now, these are very simple statistics with very simple definitions. BB percent, or walk rate, which we're going to call it, is the percentage of at-bats that a player walks, and K percent, or strikeout rate, is the percentage of at-bats that a player strikes out. I like to include these percentages in my analysis because they deepen the understanding of what type of hitter you're analyzing. If you see a high walk rate and a low K rate, you know you're looking at a disciplined hitter who should be doing well. If those are reversed, you're likely looking at an undisciplined hitter and likely someone you want to avoid. Obviously, though, there are exceptions to this rule. You may also be wondering why these stats are important. Well, they can be tricky because you can look at them in isolation and think you found a stud, and other times you can look at them in isolation and think you found someone to avoid. But really, you have to combine your analysis of these stats with your analysis of other data points because these stats can be misleading if you don't understand them. There are a lot of different types of walk rate and strikeout rate combinations that can show a lot of different types of players, but it's really all the other stats in combination with these that help you see the whole picture. And I'll give you a few examples. A player with a high strikeout rate and a high walk rate is White Sox catcher and first baseman Yasmani Grandal. Last year, he had a 22% strikeout rate and a 17% walk rate. By looking at just these numbers, you may not necessarily know what to think. He shows patience and discipline in his walk rate, but his strikeout rate is pretty high too. But if you look at all the other stats, you'll see he makes hard contact. His 2019 BABIP is in line with his career numbers. He has excellent line drive ground ball and fly ball numbers. His home run to fly ball and ground ball to fly ball rates are very good. And he shows good plate discipline. And in fact, he's improving with age in many of these areas. So why are the walk and strikeout rates important? Well, they help solidify the type of player I'm looking at and reinforce that he is a patient hitter who will get on base, although he strikes out too much to ever be a truly elite hitter, but he can be productive. Okay, a different player, someone with a low strikeout rate and a low walk rate is Orioles utility man Hanser Alberto. He had a 9.1 strikeout percent and a 2.9 walk percent in 2019. This is crazy, okay? So in 2016, he had 58 at-bats and walked zero times. Zero! He also struck out in nearly a third of his at-bats that year. In 104 at-bats in 2015, he walked 1.9% of the time. The good thing with him is that his strikeout rate has been improving, but looking at these percentages in isolation would make you think he might be a pretty disciplined hitter. If you're just looking at his 2019 stats, you might think he's a tough out because he doesn't strike out that much. You know, this is where you really want to look at the other numbers. He has a horrible 24% hard contact rate. His ground ball rate is nearly 50%. Combine those stats with a very limited walk rate, and I see a player to avoid. He's not someone that's going to get on base a ton, and he isn't someone who's going to be very productive when others are on base. Don't let the 305 batting average from last year fool you either. With everything accounted for, including BABIP, which last year his BABIP was 20 points over his career BABIP, I'd expect more like a 280 average to be his norm, but I don't expect him to be productive in other categories. So another player type that you might find is somebody with a high strikeout rate and a low walk rate, and that's Indians outfielder Domingo Santana. He had a 32% strikeout rate and a 9% walk rate in 2019. And traditionally, these are types of players you want to avoid. And Santana is no exception to that rule. But yes, there are exceptions. Check out Javi Baez, Franmil Reyes, and Pete Alonso. Domingo Santana, he has the power to be good. He just lacks the discipline. He whiffs on way too many balls. He has a 14% swinging strike rate and only a 78% contact rate for 2019. He had a relatively high BABIP in 2019, and he has a high BABIP for his career, probably due to good line drive and fly ball numbers, but it obviously isn't helping him turn that into a good average or consistent production for that matter. You know, he's a player, if his strikeout rate was even 10% lower, his batting average and, you know, those other traditional statistics would reflect a good hitter. Instead, he strikes out too much and he lacks the discipline for me to trust him enough to roster him. If you do roster him, know that you're likely getting a really streaky hitter who's going to have some decent weeks of power, but who's going to strike out a lot. Lastly, a player with a low strikeout percent and a high walk percent. Well, there's only one type of player who fits this mold from last year, and really this is the type of player you want to target. This is a player that shows patience and discipline, right? You could find others who sort of fit this mold, but certainly not to this extent. So the one player who really, really exemplifies the very low strikeout rate and a high, high walk rate from 2019 is Alex Bregman. He's a stud, and, you know, I don't think I have to get into his advanced metrics, so I'm going to move on. So to find these stats, simply go to FanGraphs and either click leaders at the top right and select 2019 or whatever year you want. And then just scroll down a little bit, or you can select an individual player by typing their name into the search bar at the top left, and then scroll down a little bit. The walk and strikeout numbers are in the standard dashboard settings with runs and home runs and stolen bases and all that good stuff. So like we've been doing for a few weeks now, what I want to do is combine the practice of finding this stat with some analysis. I'd like you to have a window on your device open to FanGraphs and another open to your fantasy team from this year if you've drafted, or last year's fantasy team, or some players that you're targeting in this year's draft if you haven't drafted yet. For the sake of this exercise, I'm going to pick a player who I'm curious about in my league's upcoming draft, and that's Starlin Castro. So I'm going to type his name into the search bar, and then after I click on his name, I'm just going to scroll down a little bit to find his walk and strikeout rates. So Starlin Castro, now of the Washington Nationals, is an interesting player. He's a career 280 hitter, but has shown potential to bat 300. Although in the years where he's batted 300, his BABIP has been astronomical. There are also years where his BABIP has been well below his career mark, and accordingly, his average has dropped to the 270s and 280s. But let's focus on his walk and strikeout rates. Historically, he doesn't walk that much. His career rate is 5%, and he only walked 4.1% of the time last year. And his 16.4% strikeout rate for last year was right in line with his career rate. He doesn't strike out a ton, but he also doesn't walk very much. He's interesting because you really can't tell a lot from just these numbers. You have to dig deeper. His hard contact rate is 41.9%. I really like this. It's also important to note that this improved from the year before, showing that something changed in his swing to help him hit the ball harder. Added power equals added production. His line drive ground ball fly ball numbers, 19.1%, 47.9%, 33% respectively. I like the fly ball and the line drive percentages, but he does hit a lot of ground balls. I wonder if coming to the Nationals and having Kevin Long as a hitting coach will improve on, you know, the launch angle and maybe adjust those numbers a little bit. So I'll be watching this season, hopefully we will have a season to see if those numbers get better. His home run to fly ball rate is 12.5%, and this is pretty good for the type of hitter he is. You know, he's not a typical power hitter, so you can't expect a 20% home run to fly ball rate, but it's a good sign that he's turning fly balls into home runs. His ground ball to fly ball ratio is 1.5%, and this is a number I don't like. However, it actually is one of his best ground ball to fly ball ratios in his career, so hopefully we're seeing a turning point, and hopefully that number continues to get closer to one. Lastly, his chase rate is 34.5%. His O contact rate is contact rate on pitches outside of the strike zone is 70%. His Z swing rate is 69%, and his Z contact rate is 90%. Those deal with contact in the strike zone. His overall contact rate is 82.5%, and his swinging strike rate is only 8.6%. And for the most part, I really like these numbers. His chase rate is a little high, but is in line with what he's done for his career, and that's resulted in only one bad season for him. He makes contact with pitches inside the zone, which is good. He doesn't swing and miss very much, and his overall contact is good, not great. And, you know, overall, I think he's draftable for sure. I wouldn't have him as, you know, my second base starter, or, you know, I wouldn't even consider him a set it and forget it player at that middle infield slot. But, you know, I'd like him as part of the rotation there. You know, I'd keep him on the bench and put him in when the timing is right, or maybe slot him into the utility role. But he's definitely worth a draft pick. In terms of who you should target in the upcoming season, strictly based on searching for walk and strikeout rates, I would suggest that you target first baseman Carlos Santana from Cleveland. Especially if you play in an OBP league, this guy is a must-have. He consistently walks a good amount, 15.7% in 2019 and 15.4% for his career. And he doesn't strike out too much, 15.7% in 2019 and 16.5% for his career. So you know you're getting a guy who will get on base and who will be a tough out at the plate. And this often leads to him having productive years in the runs and RBI categories. In fact, 2019 was a career year for him in home runs, RBI, and runs. He did definitely benefit from batting third and fourth in the order behind Lindor, Jose Ramirez, and Franmil Reyes, and Oscar Mercado. And his other numbers solidify him as a solid hitter. His hard contact rate was 43%. Last year, and all of his batted ball percentages were excellent. You know, his plate discipline numbers show that he doesn't chase a lot of balls outside of the strike zone, and he doesn't swing and miss very much. When he does see pitches in the zone, he makes good contact. This is a guy who doesn't quite make it into the top 10 first baseman for me in fantasy baseball because of the batting average risk. But if the timing is right and I need a first baseman, I won't hesitate to take him. I'll be right back to discuss trading. Trading in fantasy baseball is one of my favorite parts of the game. It makes me feel like a real MLB front office executive. But what trading is really good for is targeting the players you like who are too good to be out there on the waiver wire. Sometimes your only access to the roster you want is to trade. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a few tips to become a good trader, to get deals done without stepping on toes, and hopefully lead to successful outcomes. My first piece of advice on trading is don't just send out offers without having a discussion first, because it's really unlikely those deals get done. Not only that, but then you've had no productive discussion once your offer is rejected to figure out if there was any other way the deal could have gotten done. Instead, communicate with your other managers. Reach out and ask if a player is available. Tell them who you're interested in. Tell them who's available on your team to trade. You know, these are important things because if you do this, you have an avenue open to find deals that you maybe thought weren't possible. Imagine realizing that you could get the player you wanted for someone you didn't think another manager would take, but they're interested in your guy, so you can make the deal. You wouldn't have known, you know, things like that if you hadn't talked first. So to add onto that a little bit, you know, even if a deal doesn't get done, at least you've had a productive discussion. They know who you like and who's available and vice versa. So in a few weeks, maybe you come back and open up the discussion again. You know, it's so important to communicate first before trading. Talking first also limits the chance you're going to ship out a ridiculous trade offer and insult your fellow managers. Sure, send out Starlin Marte for Cody Bellinger. See what happens. When you send out ridiculous offers, it can offend your managers by making them think you think they don't know what they're doing. Those situations happen a lot and can alienate managers from the rest of the league. Then nobody will trade with them. You don't want that to happen. So talk first. Now, if you're not sure how to start a discussion with your fellow managers, try something, you know, like these to get the conversation going. You could say, what will it take to get so-and-so from your team? Or who do I have that you want? Or these three players are available. Any interest? You know, these are things that can get the conversation going and will give you a good barometer on what your fellow managers want and don't want, and hopefully will lead to a productive discussion at a minimum. Another tip for trading in fantasy baseball is to pay attention to surplus and deficit. Okay, so you can take this in a couple of different ways. You know, one way to think about it is look for teams that have a surplus at a position. Maybe they have four good first basemen and you need an upgrade at first base. Figure out where that team is lacking and offer a trade accordingly. Additionally, you know, maybe, you know, you think about statistics, right? And you have a deficit at strikeouts and pitching. So you need to target a high strikeout pitcher from another team. Send an offer to someone where you give them something that they need, where you have a surplus. And pay attention to this throughout the year because things change and different teams move up and down the standings. But by noticing your own and other managers' surplus and deficits, you can easily find avenues for trading. Which leads me to another tip. You may have to sacrifice. Be open to trading anyone to get what you need. Be open to trading Cody Bellinger if you get the right deal. If you're making a push for first place, but you don't really need, but you really need strikeouts and steals to do it, and somebody offers you a deal that gets what you need, at least consider it. Don't ever shut down a deal before one is offered simply based on who your player is. Consider everything. In addition to that, don't take forever to respond to trades. It's really annoying when you've had, you know, especially when you've had a discussion with somebody where you've sent an offer, you think the deal is going to get done, or maybe, you know, you're in a position where you need that deal to get done in order to win your matchup for the day or for the week, but your trade partner doesn't accept that deal for 5 days, right? Those sorts of things are annoying. You know, they can affect outcomes of games, and it can also be seen as a little bit disrespectful. So, you know, whether or not you're going to take a deal, respond quickly, not for your benefit, not for your sake, but for the benefit of the trade partner. All in all, hopefully these tips help you to get deals done, or at a bare minimum, you know, hopefully they help you to start conversations about players in your league. So my philosophy with trading is that it's a fun way to improve your team and somebody else's team, where you can access the best players in baseball that would never show up on the waiver wire. When I trade, I try to follow my own advice, although I am guilty of doing some things I said not to do. However, I try my best to communicate without being oppressive. I try my best to find deals that make sense for both parties. And I try my best to be open to discussion about every player. You know, in past years, I've traded Mookie Betts, I've traded Bryce Harper, and other big name players who most people might not trade, but only because it was the right situation. So keep your options open too. Well, that's all for today. I'm excited to say that my league is drafting tomorrow. So my next episode is going to be a draft recap. I'm going to have my analysis of my own team, and I'll talk a little bit about some of the other teams and those players on other teams that I like. Thanks for listening.